Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. He joins me. Jay, Padres, I know you want to talk about the momentum. So, I mean, we can start there if you'd like. But, you know, I'm just going to let you know we're in for a little fight if you want to go down the momentum trail. But you know what? One of the more underreported things is, like, and of course, this is how you build a 19-10 record. But they most often lose a game and they don't lose another one. And they haven't lost more than two in a row. I mean, we're nitpicking, and that I hope fans are allowing that to make them feel good that you're nitpicking about a 19-10 team versus the team that's usually out of it by now.
Right. I mean, we could, why don't we start with that? I mean, they are 19-10, whatever else has happened and whatever else we've talked about in terms of negatives, they are 19-10. They have not played the best teams in baseball, but they've played major league teams and they have won 19 times and lost only 10. And, you know, look, three of those games we've talked have been what we called crushing defeats where they, you know, you say, wow, they had that game. But then you look at yesterday, that's a game you don't expect at the end to win. So they, in the end, you hope you have more of those yesterday type games than you do of the crushing of variety. But I think you have to look at the big picture, which is they're 19-10. They are, I think, tied for the third best record in the National League, if I'm not mistaken, behind the Dodgers and just behind the Mets, and I think tied with the Brewers. So at this point, you know, they are a playoff team, which is what everybody wants to see 5 months from now. That said, we should talk about the weekend. We talked on Friday. They had a big win on Thursday. After that game, we said, what are they going to do Friday night if they get into a situation where they need, you know, to protect a lead in the eighth and ninth inning? And I was not in town over the weekend. I had the great luck of deciding to go to the LA Kings Edmonton Oilers series on the night when the Kings lost 8-2, as opposed to last night when I watched on TV as they won. So I missed a Padre game on Friday. And then of course that also meant I missed yesterday's game, but that's my problem. Friday night, though, here it came, eighth inning, Robert Suarez, right?
Yep.
Came in, pitched well. Ninth inning, Steven Wilson. Maybe not as well, but he got out of it. They protected the lead. Saturday was a disaster. We said they were going up against a tough pitcher who was obviously very tough. I didn't see any of the game. Yesterday, again, facing a guy who has been good in the past but not good this year, Trevor Rogers. Their scoreless streak got to 20 innings, I believe, over the weekend. But somehow, some way, they came up with this miracle finish yesterday. But they got a win. Yeah. And look, the guys contributed. C.J. Abrams came off the bench, got a hit. Jorge Alfaro came off the bench, got a big home run. Man, that was a long home run. You don't see many balls go that deep into the visiting bullpen at Petco. I don't care if it was day, night, whatever. That ball was killed.
449 feet, didn't even have – I know that Jorge Alfaro did not see it land because he just knew. He was looking at the dugout. I mean, it was just incredible.
I mean, I don't think Cole Sulcer saw it land either. No, he was walking to the dugout. I mean,
by the time it landed, he was in the dugout.
Yeah, right. I mean, that you can tell – and sometimes be watching a game and I'll say, no, he didn't get that, or he got it. And, you know, and my wife will say, how did you know that? I said, watch the reaction of the pitcher sometimes or the batter. They know when a ball is crushed. Now, obviously yesterday, that wasn't much mystery to that one, but that's a big hit for the Padres at a time where they really needed a big hit. And, but it's one hit, it's one game. It's one win. And just like the crushing defeat on Wednesday didn't define what happened Thursday with the Padres, yesterday's game doesn't in any way portend what's going to happen tonight against the Cubs.
And by the way, who pitched the final two innings yesterday? Robert Suarez, who before this weekend, we would say, man, this guy's really good when the pressure's not on. He's new to the big leagues. The Padres were, you know, kind of both concerned and using that as a kind of an excuse for him that, hey, new to the big leagues and he's pressing a little bit in those situations. Well, I mean, they don't win those two games without Robert Suarez doing his work over three
innings. And it does show how everything changes. And, you know, it's easy to judge guys. And we've talked for years and years about how, you know, Twitter and social media and even podcasts like this are probably the worst thing that's happened. Baseball is not the sport for these kind of things. And this weekend's a perfect example. You know, Robert Suarez going into the weekend, it's like, man, this guy is terrible. He can't pitch under pressure at all. And he has two tremendous outings. You know, Jorge Alfaro is a strikeout machine. He comes up and hits a 449-foot home run to win a game. You know, C.J. Abrams can't get a hit. He gets a hit at a clutch time. It is such a long season, and there are so many ups and downs that happen from, you know, at-bat to at-bat and appearance to appearance, and it's easy to get caught up in them. But it's so easy for guys to turn it around in a hurry or have it turn around on them in a hurry. And I think Suarez is a perfect example of a guy who, you know, at least for the weekend, he put it together. And you're right, they don't win the game yesterday if he doesn't keep that game at 2-0.
But still, looking at the big picture, I'll sum it up this way. I had a story written that was full of incredible stats about they're not scoring and they're not hitting, and it was done and ready to send. As a matter of fact, I was worried that I accidentally sent it because I was so certain that at this point, the way they were playing, that they were not going to score. And you go downstairs, and Jorge Alfaro, if you didn't read it, either my story, Bryce's column, the newsletter, whatever, the story about his mom, and he's telling her, you know, he calls her, she thanks him for the flowers. She's in Colombia. She watches every game. He's not playing, starting. Oh, it's okay. You're going to hit a home run. You be ready. Mom, that's really hard to do. It's a great story. Jorge Alfaro is a charismatic, great guy. His teammates love him. They put the swag chain on him. The music's blaring in your life. And Bob Melvin is, who's been, quite honestly, a little frustrated, right? Like anybody would be who pours their life into this. And yesterday there was a, you know, a lightness to him. And you go, and you sort of forget how you were going to just basically rip the crap out of them in your story. But you've got to step back and go, it's still a reality. This team scored 8 runs in 4 games, and it's been a season long thing. And so that's the reality, big picture. Now, good news for them, the 9-18, 5 straight losses, Cubs come into town. They're hurting.
14 of 17 they've lost.
Marcus Stroman was supposed to pitch against the Padres, because I'll tell you this, I said it last year and again this year, I think the Marlins do have good pitchers. Now, the Padres are struggling offensively. The Marlins have good pitchers. If we're going to face Marcus Stroman, that's a different story. You're facing Kyle Hendricks tonight. I don't know who the next two guys are. I think they're calling up at least one guy to start.
Yeah, they're having issues with their staff right now, and excuse me, don't have anybody named for the next couple of days. Kyle Hendricks has not been great this year. He's been terrible on the road, but he's been pretty good against the Padres in recent years. Some of those guys, I haven't looked at the, you know, batter by batter numbers. I know that Jeff Sanders will have those up later, but seems like they've struggled. Some of these guys have struggled quite a bit against him. And let's face it, they're struggling against everybody right now. You know, maybe Cole Sulcer aside yesterday for an inning, but you can't say that, oh, well, that guy's pitching against the Padres and he's terrible, so the Padres are going to hit him, because right now you can't count on the Padres hitting against anybody. It doesn't mean they won't. I mean, that's the thing, you know, whatever has happened, the fact the Cubs have lost 14 of 17 doesn't mean they can't come in here and play well. The Padres have another advantage. The Cubs had to play. I always think baseball doesn't care at all about these guys or about fairness or anything. But, you know, for the Cubs to have to play the late game last night, it's not as bad flying, you know, east to west as it is for a West Coast team having to do that. But still, the Cubs finishing that game at probably, I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, getting on a plane at midnight or whatever, getting into San Diego in the middle of the night. So there's another, you know, potential advantage. But look, the Padres have done that too. They got off of, had a late night arrival in San Diego last week after the Cleveland game and won the next game. So all these things you can't count on. All we can say is right now the Cubs aren't very good. Padres offense isn't very good, but most of the Padre pitchers, especially the ones that start the games, and tonight's starter Mackenzie Gore is one of them, they are pretty good. And that gives the Padres a chance every time they go out there.
All these guys with their quality starts, like I didn't know that this could happen with the Padres. I guess it probably did back in the day, you know, but 17, that's four more than any other team. And I don't know, Jay, like, would you rather have this, or would you rather the Padres, you know, were scoring eight runs a game but allowing six? Same record, but they're winning every game 8-6, but you're going, oh, damn, can they keep this up?
I think in the long run, we've both seen a lot of baseball games. In the long run, you're better off having good pitching, and especially the way the Major League Baseball has sort of designed the game for right now.
I know
that you want to have good pitching right now. Offense is down everywhere, but in the long run in baseball, it's been proven you're going to win with good pitching, and that's where the Padres are. And that's why the bullpen has been a concern, because there are, you know, you need to have good pitching all the way through, especially if you're not going to hit. But the Padres have six good starters right now. And, you know, a seventh is apparently, you know, will be on the way shortly, at least one with a, you know, with a good track record. So it's a good problem to have. We talked about it last week, but they are going to go through the rotation this week with Gore and Clevinger and Martinez pitching Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday against the Cubs. And all those guys are coming off of good starts. I'm not surprised Clevinger gets the extra day, with him and Gore both pitching on Wednesday. And I not a surprise at all that Clevinger would be the guy to wait until Tuesday, and looking forward to seeing what he does in his second start off of, you know, the long layoff.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gore, I think the only guy without, well, Clevinger obviously with the one start, but Gore's the only guy who hasn't gone the six innings.
Right.
I mean, Martinez went seven his last start, and that was kind of the, like, that's the best version of Nick Martinez, just mixing pitches like that. That was fantastic. Sean Manaea, gosh, is Sean Manaea the guy you would say that has been as shaky as anyone on the staff right now? And that's a guy with five quality starts. He went six innings, gave up three runs. It's been a few like that. Other guys, when we say quality start, we're talking Yu Darvish, six innings, one run, six innings, two runs. What Joe Musgrove is doing is, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Joe Musgrove was a number three pitcher. I mean, he's wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think the Padres have – I mean, it's hard to say they have a number one or two or whatever pitcher. I mean, I think right now Darvish and Musgrove would be 1-2. I think he'd probably – I don't even know what order you'd put them in at this point. I still think – I mean, Darvish has really only had one bad outing. Yes. And his numbers are skewed by – because it was so bad. Yeah. And he gave up – you know, he gave up so many runs – that it's sort of still skewing his numbers. But other than that, he's been fantastic. And Musgrove's been excellent throughout the season. And so those guys that they'll have pitching this weekend, along with Manaea, when they go off to Atlanta for the start of a road trip. But I think, you know, getting back to what we were talking about and the pitching, I don't know. I mean, are guys like Gore and Martinez still pitching for a spot, or – It seems like there's almost no spot to be had right now, because once Snell comes back, you're really only going to have those five guys. I don't know. Has anything changed over the
weekend? That was always a shaky or a tenuous or temporary premise anyway, right? Like, right. It was only going to last for so long. It's like Nick Martinez said, those guys have track records, talking about Clevinger and Snell. You give them their spots. My question is later, like, if one of them is struggling and you have, and Nick Martinez goes out in this start and he goes seven innings, you know, what are you doing? And so I still have this thing like it'll play out, but maybe with the way that things are going for the Padres, they won't struggle and will have to make a very difficult decision. I don't think, and this is based on just logic, but also talking with people, I don't think it's really a decision. Mackenzie Gore is the guy with options. Mackenzie Gore is the guy who will have something of an innings limit and has been up virtually all season. And so there's one decision, but then Snell comes back. You have off days. At least you have a couple. And so you're just not going to have Darvish, Manaea, and Musgrove going six off days between starts for Lowe. Right. Now, that said, after the off day in Philadelphia, I believe 9 straight day off, 13 straight day off, 18 and 17. So then you can go back to a 6-man rotation at least sporadically, right?
Right. Or so, at least do a piggyback type like thing we talked about with that sort of thing. And or
I don't know that it's this huge. It will be interesting. I'm fascinated by it. I mean, sure. Wow, this is what like the Dodgers have had to do for a few years, right? Like kind of fit in all these good pitchers. I'm fascinated by it, but I don't know that it's that big a deal. It's fascinating, but I think that it will work out and we don't need to fret on it. Say in the same way, we need to fret about Luke Voit and Will Myers and an outfield that's hitting 165.
Right. I was just going to get to that. I was going to mention that Nick Martinez to me is almost going into like the Tony Gonsolin role where, you know, is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be a guy that comes in the fifth inning? Is he not going to pitch for 10 days? But it always seems like Tony Gonsolin shows up and pitches well somewhere. So maybe that's where Martinez is. But I was going to segue into the offense as well, because we can't get past the fact that, as you said, they scored 8 runs over the weekend. However good the Marlins are, they still scored 8 runs. 3 of them came on the one swing yesterday, and until then we're talking about, wow, this, you know, they were an out away from us coming on and saying this team hasn't scored in 21 innings. So now they've scored in 1 of 21 innings. I'm not sure that doesn't change a whole lot that's going on. Matt Beattie got hurt over the weekend, so he'll be on the injured list, I presume. But I mean, he's just one guy that's not hitting. How long can Machado and Hosmer be the only guys that are really hitting? I mean, I know a couple guys are getting on base, okay, but the bottom line is they're still in this position where they have almost nobody hitting. You hope that Myers and Voit would come back and do something. Voit certainly did not inspire any confidence with his rehab assignment in El Paso. But I think you wrote today in the newsletter, was it? That I read a lot of stuff, but I think it was in the newsletter, like he might be activated today anyway, just because what else are they going to – I mean, what else are they going to do, right?
It wasn't the plan, but then Matt Beattie got hurt. And I just still don't know if it's the plan now, mm-hmm. but Luke Voit is in town. He was supposed to kind of get some at bats, you know, against some pitching and, but we'll see. Who else are you going to call up? Here's the thing about it is some of this was expected, right? Like we can say, what the heck is the matter with Jake Cronenworth, who, by the way, has a 14 game on base streak. But it's kind of a, you know, I think he's hitting 250 in it with a 320 right. on base. Whereas like Manny's in his 17 or 18 games is hitting 520. we can say, what the heck's the matter with Cronenworth? What's the matter with Trent Grisham? But like yesterday you get to the bottom of the lineup and it, you know, you got Thompson and Azekar in there. What were you expecting? I mean, Jose Azekar has been a fantastic player for what he was supposed to be, but I don't know that we expected to see him this much or in the starting lineup or, you know, needing big hits out of him. CJ Abrams, they still believe is going to be an all-star. He's not supposed to be here now. There's some of it where like, well, what did we expect exactly? And, you know, Tatis is out and all that, but man, the worst hitting outfield in the majors, not going to shock anybody, but looked it up anyway.
Well, obviously you're expecting a lot out of Myers and Voit, and they haven't, you know, they have not produced at all. So I think that's where you end up, and then they get hurt. So that's where you end up with guys like Azekar and Thompson, and even Beattie having to play regularly. Although at the start of the year, we kind of thought Beattie would play a lot along with Profar. Profar's hot start sort of cemented him into the lineup, although he hasn't done all that much recently to stay there other than be on a team where there aren't any other options. So he's in that sense, he's in a good spot. I mean, you know, Grisham's been terrible pretty much the entire season. Cronenworth's been below what you would expect. Austin Nola remains below what you would expect. There's just not, you know, Hosmer's been above what you would expect. Machado's been amazing. You could say they have 3 starters out, Tatis and Voit and Myers. two of those guys weren't doing anything to begin with, but doesn't mean they wouldn't have come around.
At least have a home run between them.
Yeah, right. Maybe somebody, you run into one like Alfaro has done twice, by the way, in like 50 at bats. So I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't know. It's easy, as we've talked about before, it's easy to say they got to make changes, but who's out there? And honestly, do I trust AJ Preller to bring in a guy who's going to hit based on the guys that AJ Preller's brought in here previously that were supposed to hit? Because so far, outside of Cronenworth, who really wasn't, there wasn't much expected of him. You know, go down the list of people that he's brought in that were going to hit. Who have we seen hit? So that doesn't mean he shouldn't be trying to get a bat, but right. I'm going to really be on the show me side of things where that's concerned, because all the guys that he's pretty much everybody that he's brought in as an answer to an offensive problem so far has just added to the problem.
One thing they have on their side, well, two things, 19 and 10, right. And Fernando Tatis Jr. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's a pretty big one, right?
But it's still 5 or 6 weeks away.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot of games in that span.
Absolutely. But that's also 2 months before the trade deadline. I mean, you know, like if you were going to make a trade in June, that's generally pretty early to make a trade.
Sure.
So, look, I'm not saying don't. I would then also say, and I think we've been down this road before, how are you getting that bat? Like, how are you getting that bat that you know? Not like, oh, maybe, that you know. Not a Luke Voit, who, look, I still think could get 20 homers, but, like, not that guy. A guy you know because you're giving up something. So, how are you? What, is someone taking Nick Martinez at $6.5 million for 4 years? Is someone taking Denelson Lamet? I mean, right. We could talk about Denelson Lamet being talked about in trade talks. Who the heck is taking him?
Exactly. At this point.
So, and certainly in terms of for a bat that is proven. So what is it you're doing?
Well, the question then becomes, okay, you have these starting pitchers. Are you willing to give up one of your top starting pitchers? Not Nick Martinez, as you said.
Is it Sean Manaea?
He's making, and not Mackenzie Gore, who you have under control for the future. So who are you giving up to get this bat, even if you knew it was a proven bat? Are you going to risk giving up one of these starting pitchers like Sean Manaea? And I don't think Blake Snell has a whole lot of trade value either.
If Blake Snell comes back and pitches like he did at the end of last season, then we're still talking about that timeline of Tatis, right? We're talking 5 or 6 starts.
You're down the right. You're not. If you were to say make a trade right now,
right?
Who has value in the rotation? Musgrove, obviously. And Manaea and Darvish, are you going to trade one of those guys?
And which one of these teams that has a player willing that the Padres would want that is almost a guaranteed bat wants Sean Manaea, who's a free agent, Joe Musgrove, who's a free agent? I mean, these are just not trades that make sense. And that's not to say they're not trying or that they won't do it. It's very tempting and easy for all of us to be like, oh, trade from their surplus. Get into the weeds, and it's not easy at all.
No, I agree. And
nor am I personally thinking it's necessarily a great idea, given that the reason that they are 19 and 10 is all this pitching.
Yeah,
and I mean, what we saw last year.
That I was just going to say, we know at some point this season that the Padres are going to need all 7 of those starting pitchers. That doesn't mean you couldn't maybe give up one of them, but the one that you say you want to give up doesn't have the value that you probably think that it does. There just aren't a lot of guys in this rotation who are going to bring you that much in trade. And the one or two guys who will are the one or two guys you don't want to give up. Because to me, it's more important to have the pitching than to go through what we did last year and see Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta, you know, pitching games that count. So I would rather take my chances if I'm the Padres with a strong rotation and hoping that, as you mentioned, I'm getting back one of the best players in baseball here in, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, and that he's going to boost the offense. Will Myers is going to come back. I can't believe Will Myers is going to be a 550 OPS guy.
Yeah, let's at least give him that, can we?
For the whole season, he's not going to be that bad. I can't believe, as much as I'm not a, a member of the Trent Grisham fan club, that he's going to be a 155 hitter for the whole season.
Well, I hate to say this, because I basically, you know, Bob Melvin is the first guy I've covered where I'm like, wow. Look, Andy Green was a brilliant baseball man. Mm-hmm. You know, Jace Tingle was put in a situation he shouldn't have been. He's a good baseball guy. Will be a coach in this, in the major leagues for a long time. I covered Terry Collins. Okay, that was early in his career. I covered Bill Russell, who had no business being a manager. Bob Melvin is a freaking genius. He's a relationship mm-hmm. genius. He's a baseball genius. So I want to make that clear when I say the only reason I'm buying what he's saying about track record and about how our offense is going to be better is it cannot be this bad. Trent Grisham does not hit one whatever it is.
Right, and,
you know, Cronenworth does not hit 208. You know, like, it just, I'm sorry, that's not going. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be fire, but it's not this bad. That would be like, at some point here, I would start looking up historically bad if yeah. that were going to be the case.
Well, and at the same time, I don't expect Machado and Hosmer, as we've said, to stay this hot for that long either. So those guys have to come around to make up
can't.
For the, right, the inevitable fall that's going to come, inevitable slumps that's going to come from those guys. So I think, you know, look, it would be great to wave a magic wand and make a deal and trade a guy, trade some pitcher or even two pitchers for a guy that's going to come in and have an 850 OPS. But I don't know who that guy is. And if he's out there, I don't know that he's that, you know, it's still going to be a big gamble, whoever you get, because you're not going to get, you know, a proven all-star or anything like that. Or if you do, it'll be a phony all-star like Adam Frazier.
Here's the beauty of this thing that we all do. Fans, media, you are right to bang the drum for, you know, an improvement to your team. You are also right to point out that AJ Preller does not have the best trade track record as of mm-hmm. yet. Well, wait a minute. Those are two contradictory things. You're
right,
like,
right.
AJ, make a trade to make our team better. AJ, you can't make trades that make our team better. They make our team worse. So
yeah.
How fun is this? This is
that's
fun.
Exactly. That's why I said. And the bottom line is 19-10, three games with the crummy Cubs this week, three more, then going on the road to play Atlanta and Philadelphia, who have not been as good as we thought they would be yet, and then finishing that trip in San Francisco.
Hey, and one thing the Padres are getting this year that they didn't last year, and we talked about this, is the Cubs were hot as heck. They were in first place in the Central when the Padres played them last year. Look at them now. The Phillies are supposed to be super hot. I don't know. Maybe they're going to implode because of where they play and that mixture that they've got. But, you know, maybe the Padres are going to catch them at the right time. The Braves, you know, 14-16, I think. And maybe they're catching these teams at the right time, and that's how it goes. By the way, the Dodgers are what, a game or a half a game better? Or maybe they're still in a virtual tie. I don't know. But they just swept the Cubs. They've played a couple better teams. But they went. Yeah. They beat Detroit. They've played Arizona. They've just swept the Cubs. Like, the West has not had to beat up on each other yet.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers have the same number of wins as the Padres.
Yes.
19, but three fewer
That's
losses.
Right.
Kevin, the dreaded 30-minute tone is coming up. We will see three with the Cubs. You will fly across the country. We will talk to you on Friday in Atlanta. Have a good week, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.